Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Guys, in John chapter 10, you see, I need to get serious sometime and start preaching. Right? The sermon actually starts now. In John chapter 10, Jesus uses the image of a shepherd to draw a contrast between his leadership and that of the Pharisees that have manipulated and corrupted the lives of many during their period of reign. Now, because you're all reading the scripture. Like you know this, no? John chapter 10, the Scarpy scripture. Okay, great stuff. We're going to get to the scripture now. Just you can hear me out here now. Because the ancient East was primarily an agricultural society, the shepherd is a common figure in literature. We see the shepherd appear quite often in the Word of God. Now, in the Old Testament, God uses the image of the shepherd to illustrate his care for Israel. If you've read the Old Testament, you would know that there God's an old shepherd, right? He illustrates his care for Israel through the image of the shepherd. Now, besides God, kings and other leaders were portrayed as shepherds as well in their role of guarding, defending, and leading the people. Now, that's all good, all right? But we do know through Scripture that we have only one true shepherd, and that's Jesus Christ. Yeah? Scripture says that he is the true shepherd. However, we must remember that we too, now when I say we too, me, everyone here, we too have been called to positions of ranch hands and under-shepherds. And I'm going to explain this to you. I'm going to qualify the statement for you. Jesus is our true shepherd, but each and every one of us have been called to positions of ranch hands or under-shepherds. And at the same time, we must remember that in this greater equation that I'm going to pack out for you, each and every single one of us is still a sheep. Does that make sense to everyone? Need some more explaining. By the smiles I'm getting, yo, need some more explaining. All right? I'm only teasing. Guys, but I'm going to qualify this statement. Jesus is our true shepherd. He delegates that authority to each and every one of us. So we are called to positions of leadership under divine delegation from Christ himself. We can't take the role of shepherd, hence I say, we call to the positions of ranch hands or under shepherds. But at the same time, each and every single one of us is still a sheep. The kingdom of God works in that way. There's a hierarchy in the kingdom of God. So no matter who's called to where, Jesus is the true shepherd. And because we're submissive to the true shepherd, we're all sheep, irrespective of the leadership position that you've been called to. So in the light of this statement, I want to ask you guys, how often do you assess your following style as a sheep? And how often do you assess your leadership style as an under-shepherd? I need you guys to think about this one, because this is vital to the growth of the church. You see, church growth and church sustainability largely depends on our ability to both lead and follow. If we get that wrong, we've got a problem. Eh? Wise man by the name of John Bevere, you all know him. Eh? Common author, great preacher, phenomenal preacher. He's got a book out there, Undercover, and I'm going to quote something that he mentions in Undercover. I might just paraphrase it a little bit, but he says in there that my experience has been that Westerners, now we need to qualify Westerners. Westerners are dwellers in democratic nations, all right? So he says that his experience has been that Westerners are at times of the hardest people when it comes to accepting, which is hearing and doing the Word of God. And he says that the reason for that is fundamental. It's difficult to understand kingdom principles with a democratic mindset. Yeah? This is John's words, eh? Stealing it for the day. He goes on and he says, democracy is good for the nations of this world, but the kingdom of God is exactly that. It's a kingdom, which means that it's ruled and it's run by a king. And there's order, there's rank, and there's authority. He goes on and he says, the laws of this kingdom is not subject to or superseded by personal opinion. And I want to add to that and say that the laws of the kingdom cannot be swayed by what we believe to be good for ourselves. Oh, today we're going to tune, eh? Today we're going to eat. And then John goes on and he says, if we continue to live as believers with a cultural mindset towards leadership and authority, we will at best be ineffective. Yes, I'm quoting this out of his book. Are you guys not impressed? Genade, eh? Word for word. Word for word. There's a simple reason why I can do that, because this is truth. And this is something we need to understand. This is something that I had to chew on for a very long time, because I struggled to understand this. And when I allowed the Lord to walk into my life and shine light on this, it made the world of sense to me. That is why I can quote another preacher's book. So today I want to share a passage of scripture with you, which is going to shed some light on what it means to live as a sheep and as an under-shepherd. It's up there on the board. You can turn with me to John chapter 10. We're going to read from verse 1. It says, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Now Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door to the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he's a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I'm known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Let us pray for the message before we get going. Father, this morning we honor you, we praise you, we glorify you, for there's no one and nothing like you. We thank you, Lord, for that relentless heart of love that you have for each and every single one of us, and the desire that you see, or that you have, to see every one of your sheep come to the shepherd. Lord, for that we honor you, for you go to great depths to draw your flock back unto you. We thank you for the privilege to unpack your word today, Lord, a sharp two-edged sword. We thank you, Lord, that your word will sit at the depths of our hearts and will sow seed that will bring true transformation for the glory of the name of Jesus Christ. So we honor you, we praise you. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In John chapter 10, Jesus, he paints two pictures for us. The first one is that of the Middle East shared sheep pen. All right, so I'm gonna explain a little bit what this is. In certain towns in the Middle East, there was a common sheepfold, all right? A whole lot of shepherds, a whole lot of individual flock of sheep that would be brought to the common fold during the course of the night to stay there. This sheepfold had one doorkeeper, had one watchman that would regulate what shepherd brought and took what sheep. All right, so you catch this picture. Common fold, whole lot of shepherds, whole lot of sheep coming. They're putting everyone in there. One doorman, one watchkeeper. He regulates who comes in, what comes out. Right? That is the shared sheepfold of the Middle East. Common occurrence. Now I want to draw attention to Jesus' opening two lines that says, "He who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but comes in by some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." Now from this opening two lines, we get the foundational principle for sound biblical leadership. It's a sticky one, but it's the foundational principle for sound biblical leadership. I'm going to be speaking to two categories of individuals today. You get to choose wherever you want to be. Principle number one, sheep. Yeah? Know who your legitimate under-shepherd is. Under-shepherds, know what flock has been rightfully assigned to you. Principle number one. Much confusion and misunderstanding around this key principle hinders the process going forward. Now there's some fire in some eyes right now. You must remember, I can see all of you. Without me saying too much about this specific principle, I'm sure each and every one of you know exactly where I'm going to go with this morning. So I'm going to touch on it briefly, and I'm going to allow the Lord to finish it off for you. All right, sheep. For years we have been plagued with the misperception that we can choose our shepherd. Or even better, consult many shepherds. Sheep, please don't get me wrong today. There's value in the latter, yeah? I'm going to paraphrase the book of Proverbs, which says, so hence the Bible says, that there is the potential to find fruit in the multitude of counselors. Yet what I'm speaking about is our desire to opt for the flavor of the month. You know what I'm speaking about now, yeah? Moving around from shepherd to shepherd, the one that tells us what we want to hear. We've got a tendency to do that. Sheep, that's dangerous. Extremely dangerous. Remember my statement earlier. The laws of the kingdom of God cannot be swayed by what we believe to be good for us. Full stop. The Lord can finish the rest off. At the other end of the spectrum, we have this false entitlement that comes with a leadership badge. Now, what I'm speaking about here is commonly called the right to speak into people's lives. Yeah? We believe that with leadership, automatically comes the right to speak into people's lives. People, don't get me wrong this morning. All right? There's value in that as well. As brothers and sisters in Christ, it's our duty to motivate each other, encourage each other, to bring correction in each other's lives, to do all of that. But, one simple thing. You earn the right to speak into someone's life. Yeah? You earn the right to speak into someone's life. And I want to add on to that. The legitimate way is through the door via the under-shepherd. Full stop. I'll let the Lord Jesus sort the rest out. You guys get where I'm going with this. If you get this wrong, church, you're going to get nothing else right in understanding this process. It's such a key principle, but one that we often get wrong. You see, the scripture says, to him the doorkeeper opens. Scriptures talk about the shepherd. The legitimate, true, real shepherd, to him the doorkeeper opens. Remember that. Then it goes on and it says, and he walks in. He calls his sheep by name. They hear his voice and he leads them out. What a beautiful picture of what a sheepfold should look like. Under shepherds, true authority derives itself from sincere investment into the lives of the sheep. And the shepherds, true authority establishes itself in sincere relationship with the sheep. Now, this brings me to the second principle. With great authority comes great responsibility. So let me unpack this for you. The doorkeeper opens the sheepfold. You, the shepherd, and you walk in. Scripture says, the moment you come in there, you call your sheep by name. Once the sheep hear your voice, recognize your voice, only then do they prepare themselves to be led by you. Yeah? Your success as an under-shepherd is determined by the relationship that you have with the sheep. It's really that simple. They need to know you, and you need to know them, and intimately as well. For a simple reason, it's a shared sheep pen, all right? You need to picture this with me, which means that to that sheep pen, many shepherds approach. To the same sheep pen, there is much flock. So when you as a shepherd walk in and you call your sheep by name, guess what? They need to hear your voice. Yeah? They need to hear your voice. We experience many problems here over the years for the simple reason that with time, sheep have learned to hear the voice of others. Not always their fault, but for some reason, sheep have learned to hear the voice of others. So what does that mean to you as a shepherd or an under-shepherd? When you walk in and you call the sheep doesn't know your voice. They don't respond to your voice, which means that they're not going to follow you. Got a little bit of a problem there. Let's go back to the scriptures. What does the scripture say? For they will not follow a stranger, but they will flee from him. For they do not know the voice of strangers. So now I want to ask you a simple question. Whose fault is it when you enter the sheep pen, call your sheep, and they don't hear you? Whose fault is that if your voice is not known? Simple principle. Who's at fault if your voice is not known to the sheep? Let's go on. I'm going to dig deeper into this one. I want you to picture the tone with which the shepherd calls his sheep, yeah? It says he comes in, he calls his sheep by name. Throughout that scripture, I get no sense that there's any shouting involved. I don't pick up that there's any screaming of the sheep. I definitely don't pick up that there's any driving of the sheep out with a whip or anything of the sort. The scripture says it's simple. You walk in, you call the sheep, they recognize your voice, and they follow you. They follow you because they know your voice and they want to follow you. You see what a perfect picture of leadership we have right there. So under shepherds, I want to say to you that it is your duty to lead your sheep. There's no driving sheep out. There's no forcing sheep. It's leading your sheep. See, that means that you come into the sheepfold, you call them, you walk them out. I need you to picture this with me. Look at what that shepherd does. He comes in, he calls his sheep by name, they hear him, they focus on him. The shepherd walks. He called them and he walks. And his sheep come. His sheep follows. Beautiful picture of leading your sheep from among their ranks. The shepherd is not on a horse flogging a whip around. The shepherd is on his feet with his kiri and he's leading his own from among their ranks. You see, under shepherds, it's simple. We need to model what we want. We need to model what we expect. You need to be the example. You need to be the front runner. You need to be the one that goes ahead of the flock. So I want to say to you, it's servant leadership that we model for them. And it's our trustworthy and humble hearts that makes them follow us. That's a lot for the shepherd to take in, yeah? Sheep. Hearing the voice of the shepherd in this context implies the following. Hearing the voice of the shepherd is more than just using these things here. Yeah? What is ornaments? What's an ornament in Afrikaans? An ornament. Okay, same thing. Porcelain ornaments. I'm really not Afrikaans speaking, so. There's grace for that as well. Got an Afrikaans wife. She's giving me the answers there in the mother's room. All right, so hearing the voice is more than using your ears. Hearing the voice of the shepherd is more than an intellectual understanding. Sheep, I need to tell you what it is. Hearing the voice of the shepherd is about hearing it, accepting it, making it your own, and obeying it. I can tell you one thing, that a shepherd, irrespective of his divine calling, cannot lead if the sheep are not prepared to follow. Full stop. I'll let the Lord Jesus sort out the rest. The second image that the Lord paints for us in the book of John is that of the field sheep pen. The field sheep pen, people, that was an enclosure. All right? So it could have been a cave, could have been a hut, normally a brick structure or a mud brick structure. So it's some other form of cave or building that's standing there randomly in the felt. And the shepherd walks with his sheep at night and they need to rest. And he sees this building and he allows the sheep to go in. How many of you have got this picture of what it looks like? Eh? Some of you have watched Heidi as youngsters. You've got a good idea of what this is all about. Some of you are laughing because you don't have a cooking clue who Heidi is, and that's fine as well. Don't worry about that. But nevertheless, you've got this little building and you send the sheep in there. You see, the problem with this building is this is not a constructed sheepfold that has a gate or maybe a second gate to keep the sheep in. This enclosure has no entrance. It's a cave, right? Poop, there you go. There's no big stone that you're going to roll in front of the way. There's no electric motor gate that you're going to move from the one side to the other. The sheep are in the inside, right? So what does the shepherd do at night? The shepherd lies himself in front of the entrance. The shepherd literally becomes the door. He keeps the sheep in. He keeps the wolves out. Simple. Second image Jesus paints for us is that of the field sheep pen, where the shepherd is literally the door. Here comes the third principle. A good under shepherd will protect the sheep from harm. Now, I'm going to use this statement again. The last sermon I preached, I used this statement, but I tell you, I said it then, as cliched as it is, it's packed with a lot of truth and it packs a punch, right? People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And I want to tell you that in this game, protection is a sincere outflow of consideration for someone. Under shepherds, it's your duty to protect the sheep. Let's see what Jesus says. I am the good shepherd. I give my life for the sheep. Now, even though Christ means this a little bit more literally than what's expected of us today under shepherds, something is expected of you, and that is to lay down your life for the sheep, to give your life for the sheep. Shoo! I see a few people taking notes there. I don't know what they're writing. Maybe this word, chonamachandas. Men, what an expectation of the under-shepherd, eh? What an expectation of the under-shepherd. It's your duty to lay down your life for the sheep. Men, what an expectation. Let me show you how simple it really is. Let's go back to the scriptures. A hireling. A hireling, scripture says, is not the shepherd of the sheep. He does not own the sheep. The hireling sees the wolf coming, and the hireling gets a fright of his life. He packs his lunchbox, he packs his kiri, and he runs. He exposes the sheep to the wolf. The sheep catches the wolf and he scatters them. The hireling flees because he's a hireling and he does not care for the sheep. Scripture. Under shepherds, when things get sticky, you can't run. I'm just going to be blunt with you now. If you're sincere about your calling as an under shepherd, you wouldn't want to run. Because a good shepherd is all about the sheep and will hold the sheep in high regard. To a reasonable extent, the problems of the sheep will become your problems and you will work through them together. Reality in this game. Learn to become a shield for the sheep. So, right, I'm going to pack this out now. Many people have told me that I am overprotective of my sheep. What do you expect from me? Hey? What do you expect from me? I am the assigned under shepherd. It is me that needs to give an account for every sheep and the welfare of that sheep. Divinely assigned. Of course I'm going to be overprotective of my sheep. Of course I'm going to protect my sheep from harm and from predators. They're my responsibility. And in reality, you know what I needed to do as a shepherd of the flock? I needed to learn to change my life around to accommodate the needs of the sheep. So let's get real now. I've got a beautiful wife that's watching me on that camera right now, so I better watch my every word. I've got the cutest little 5-week-old baby. Hey? She's the cutest thing that keeps me out of sleep. My own little sheep. Blah, 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 all through the night. So daddy stands here like a zombie, preaching the word of God, but it's all fine. People, I have the most phenomenal family. The Lord has blessed me. He seriously blessed me. If some of you know me, where I come from in my past, and even when I came to know Christ, and what I was in growing in my relationship with the Lord had blessed me in a phenomenal way with my wife, and man, to entrust us with the stewardship of that little one. What a blessing. You know what? They mean a heck of a lot to me. Yeah? My wife knows that in my life it's God first. She knows she's second. And she knows that Megan's third. As a pastor in this house, I need to say this to you. You only come in fourth place. That's reality. I've got things in my life that's important to me. But I can tell you one thing. Fourth place is a damn good place to be because you're still on my priority list. And you can ask any one of the sheep in my sheepfold if they get my attention when they need it. Yes, they do because they are a priority to me. So I learned to structure my beautiful life to accommodate the needs of the sheep. Sheep. Now tonight, this morning, you need to hear me. So much tonight, because I'm preaching the same thing tonight again. Right. One sermon a week, that's my strategy. If you're not sleeping, one sermon a week. If you're sleeping, maybe two. Right? But tonight, same message. If you're planning on coming tonight, guess what you're going to hear? I might just swing it up a bit for the evening. But nevertheless, sheep, you need to hear me tonight, this morning. You need to hear me. You cannot be the under shepherd's number one. Come on. You can't. Hey? Do you understand that? You cannot be the under shepherd's number one priority. You can't. You see, the problem here is our inability to soberly assess our relationship with the under shepherd. People, that's a time bomb waiting to explode. Yeah? It's such occurrences when we struggle to understand where we fit into the priority list of the under shepherd. At times when we struggle to understand the concept that I can't be this man's number one, I'm his number four. That is when we fall into the arms of a hireling. Verse 9, Jesus says, I am the door. Whoever comes in by me will be saved. He will go in and out, and he will find pasture. Sheep, I want to encourage you with one thing. You might not be that under shepherd's number one, but you're on his priority list. I can tell you one thing. A sincere under shepherd knows that it's his duty to lead you to Jesus Christ that you can find true pasture. That under shepherd knows that. The hireling, church, the hireling is seldom around long enough to see you graze on the grass for the first time. I'm being honest with you now. You see, so whether you want to look at this through the view of the sheep shed pen or the field shed pen, the field pen, not field shed pen, shed sheep pen. There's too many and my name is Sean. The shed sheep pen. You know there's a program, Sean the Sheep. I was actually going to play you a little clip in the intro of Sean the Sheep. I thought it'd be interesting, but maybe tonight, ne? Shaking it up to be different tonight. Right? So whether you want to consider the image of the shed sheep pen or the field sheep pen, there's something common to both. Fourth and final principle. The under-shepherd keeps the sheep together. Yeah? Let's go back to the scriptures one more time. Verse 16. And other sheep I have which is not of this fold. Them I must nearly. It's one of my sheep there, nearly fell off the chair. Verse 16 says, and other sheep I also have which is not of this fold. Them I too must bring. They will hear my voice and there will be one flock and one shepherd. In the context here we see Jesus talking to Jews. Yeah? So when Jesus says that other sheep I have which is not of this fold, them too I must bring. What he's saying is that inclusion into the family of God is not restricted to race, gender, descent, social class, economic class, nothing of the sort. Inclusion into the family of God is for everyone. You see, Christ's leadership and Christ's salvation was never based on principles of exclusivity, so neither should ours. It's really as simple as that. So under shepherds, I want to encourage you with this. Desire growth and embrace diversity. Shepherds, people are our core currency. In this game, people are our core currency. People are our biggest asset. People is also your biggest headache. What makes church hard? People. It makes it hard for the leadership. Makes it hard for the sheep. Yet, people is our core currency. So desire growth, embrace diversity. I want to tell you, under shepherds, learn to deal with conflict. Learn to manage it. Learn to embrace it. Because it's never going to be easy when the sheepfold fills up. As soon as that fold starts getting busier and busier and there's traffic coming in, it's not going to be easy on the inside. I tell you, especially when the spotted sheep rock up a little late for the party, yeah? Dan raak het interessant daar binne. You're going to be able to have to manage what's going on the inside. Embrace conflict. Learn to work with it. Learn to work with the people for the simple reason is no matter what's going on the inside of that sheepfold, right? There's a spotted black sheep. There's a spotted white sheep. They're fighting over whatever grass is going on there. Someone else's sheep is trying to steal the grass while they're fighting. It's chaos in that sheep pen. Absolute chaos. But it's your duty to keep them focused on what's important. Chaos you cannot remove from the sheepfold. It's impossible. Can we remove chaos from this world? No, we can't. But it's your duty to keep them focused on what's important in life and to lead them towards the heart of the Father. Sheep, our Lord Jesus once said, and it's by this that you will know that you are my disciples, by the love that you have for one another. So what I want to say to you is simple. Desire growth, embrace diversity. Desire that madness on the inside of the sheepfold. I tell you why, never forget the greatest truth of all. It's simple. Jesus Christ voluntarily laid down his life for that unity. That chaos and that sheepfold. Let me put that into reality for you. Jesus Christ voluntarily laid down his life for that unity. Jesus, like a good shepherd, gave his life protecting the sheep, and it's that that draws us together. It's that that gives us a common identity. The fact that he died for each and every single one of us. So when things get sticky in that sheepfold, sheep, I want to say to you, you're one flock. You're one flock. Extend grace towards each other and learn to work through these things together. Can I ask the band to come up in the meantime? So, they shocked. I'm finished preaching. It's a miracle on its own, yeah? I can do short sermons as well. So, church, whether you're taking on the shape of a sheep who are under shepherd today, yeah? I'm sure you realize that what I'm saying has got absolute value to both sides. Whatever image you're taking up today, sheep who are under shepherd, let me thread this message together for you so that it makes absolute sense. If you perceive the master's voice and you obey it, you're going to be protected from harm. Yeah? It's as a result of our obedience and that protection that we get to experience an abundance of pasture. Simple as that. Last but definitely not least, the sacrifice of our true shepherd makes us one flock. Church, I want to tell you this is good news for those of us that understand that we live in a world driven by wolves. Yeah? It's a simple thread knitted through John 10. Powerful passage of scripture that we quote quite often. Normally, verse 10, the latter part. Hey? And Jesus came to give us life and life in abundance. We quote that so easily and it's true. But I want to encourage you that we're taking a principle which is so beautiful. It's a principle that the Christian fraternity holds before people. Let me explain John chapter 10 verse 10 for you. It says that the thief comes only to do three things: to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus is basically saying to you that in this world that we live in today, there's the reality of the enemy. He's real. Yeah? And he's here to do only three things: steal, kill, and destroy. And if you want to look at this passage of scripture on its own, I'm going to give it to you on its own today. And then Jesus says, irrespective of this, I come and I place myself down in this world so that you can have two things. That you can have life and that you can have it more abundantly. You see, the life that Jesus gives us and the abundant life that he speaks of is not the same thing. It's two completely different things. And that is the beauty of Christianity. When you look around you and you see this perverse, distorted world wanting to take from you, draw from you, tear you to pieces, the reality is that Jesus is in this world. That you may have eternal life in him and a life in abundance, which speaks of a God-given life in this world. a cup that overflows, a conduit and a vessel that cannot contain what Christ is putting inside of you, and not in eternal life right here, right now, in this perverse world. He will give it to you. Man, the beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news for us. But we can't take this principle out of context. John 10, verse 10, is part of chapter 10, what I'm speaking to you about today. You want that principle, you need to take the full package. You see, because that abundant life that the Lord wants to give you, pasture, that you find in Him by coming in and out constantly in Him, that does not mean that you can accept Him and run away, accept Him and run away. All that He's saying is that there's a never-ending supply of pasture in me. You can do life, you can come back to me and find pasture in me and go out in this pasture, come back this pasture. That's what the Lord is saying. If you want that, we need to understand the full package. Which means we need to accept that we are sheep and we have a master. Our true master has delegated some authority to an undermaster. Because God loves hierarchy. It works for Him and it works for His kingdom. It's what helps us keep this organization together. Hierarchy. Divinely appointed leadership. When you perceive that voice and you obey it, you will be protected from harm, because that shepherd will protect you with everything that he has, because it's his divinely appointed duty. And out of our obedience and that protection, we find that abundance of pasture. And because of the sacrifice that our true shepherd made, the reality of this game is we're all one flock, whether you like it or not. We're one. We're united. When we understand this concept and we put this together, church, I tell you, life changes. Life changes. Can I ask you to stand with me this morning? Life changes for us. So when we grasp this concept, that life starts to bear fruit for us. Things of this world doesn't have any pull on us anymore. A simple concept, yet one of the hardest to understand. Remember what John Bevere said, huh? It's hard to understand kingdom principles with a democratic mindset. I said that the success of the church largely depends on our ability to both lead and follow. So I know, because I know, because I know, because I know, because the Spirit of the Lord is telling me. He started oiling things inside of people today. Right at the beginning, the Spirit of the Lord said to me that I will change the perceptions and the thoughts of the people in my house. I will change the way they think so that they bring glory to my name. Don't shoot the messenger. The King of Glory says that He will change your thinking pattern so that His name will be glorified. Now, there's a few thinking patterns that's been changed here today. And I know, because I'm sensing it, and the Spirit of the Lord is showing me that some of this is hard to eat on. But church, I want to encourage you, chew on it. Spit out what you believe not to be from God. Swallow what you believe to be from Him. But I want to encourage all of you, don't let this day pass without making peace around this. These are not easy principles. They're foundational and they're fundamental to the success of the kingdom. We need to work through them sometime. If we forget about something long enough, it doesn't go away or become better, yeah? We need to work through things. And in the same way, Christianity is never going to be a walk in the park. It's going to take some effort from us. It's going to take some thinking from us. It's going to take some work from us to get the prize that we want. Abundant pasture in the true shepherd. Before we close off, the Lord says in verse 16 that other sheep I have which is not of this fold, them too I must bring. They will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Today I want to extend an opportunity for anyone here who feels there are sheep that are not of his fold. You see, this is an interesting principle I'm laying down, but for someone that has not accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I want to say to you that that beautiful gift of abundant pasture, you'll never be able to experience. And I know because the Lord says in the Scriptures that they will hear my voice. I know that there are people here this morning that is hearing the voice of God. Hearing the voice of the true shepherd say, come, enter into my fold. Be part of my sheep. He says, I am the door. If you enter by me, no other way, if you enter by him, you will be saved. You're saved from a world that wants to steal, kill, and destroy. So I'm going to ask everyone to please close their eyes this morning, because this is hard. This is never the easiest decision for anyone to take. A true commitment to the true shepherd. So if there's anyone here this morning that you hearing the voice of the true shepherd, for the very first time, you know this is the true shepherd speaking to you, saying, come my son, come my daughter, enter into my sheepfold, that you may experience the abundance of pasture in me. If that is you this morning, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm going to ask you to take a bold step of faith this morning. As hard as it is, because this church is not full, somehow we believe that there's many people here, it makes this easier. There can be 1,000 people here today or just you. This is still between you and God and the two of you alone. And I know that the King of Glory is speaking. Because I'm hearing the voice myself saying, come. You've even seen the picture of the shepherd open up the gate for you saying, come, enter into my sheepfold. Take up your rightful place.
You move mountains when you speak. You give power to the weak. You raise dead men their feet. You are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming his glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org. Or find us on facebook.com/Shofar Pretoria. No one like you.